Finovate showcases cutting-edge banking and financial technology through a global conference series featuring short-form demos and thought leadership. Now, the conversation continues on the Finovate podcast.
Welcome to the Finovate podcast. Joining me today, we have James Robert Lay, the author of Banking on Digital Growth, released on May 19th, bestseller within 36 hours after that. James, thank you so much for taking the time to join me here today.
Sure thing, Greg. It's good to be here with you.
Excellent. So obviously, you know, it's a new book. I'm sure you're excited about it. Can you give us just a quick overview of, you know, what the book is all about? Just kind of a quick intro.
Yeah, so I wrote the book as a strategic marketing manifesto to transform financial brands, provide them with clarity, provide them with a roadmap to help them capture the greatest opportunities in this new type of a digital world that we're living in post-COVID.
Wow, financial brands and communication. I can't imagine there's anything at all to mine there. That's a pretty dull, empty space, isn't it?
Oh, there's a lot of opportunity over the next few months, I think, that we're seeing early response with the book.
Excellent, excellent. So, you know, you released the book on May 19th, which means you must have written nearly all of it before COVID-19 really started taking up a major place in our collective consciousness. I am imagining there were quite a few pieces you sort of had to adjust before you felt comfortable releasing the book into this new reality. Or did you find that most of the principles in the book still held up well?
That's a great question. So we actually wrapped the manuscript up right after the new year. I was feeling really confident about it. And then this little COVID-19 came along and started having some conversations with the publisher. You know, do we need to address this? How are we going to approach this? And after some back and forth, we just decided to hit the pause button on launch. But upon further reflection and discussion, and then also talking with others who had read the book, I felt really confident that the content, the material, the strategies, the insights shared within were more relevant now than they were even when I wrote the book in the first place in 2019 going into 2020.
Yeah, well, I think one of the things that's true, you know, fintech and the financial industry has sort of struggled with certain aspects of communication and marketing for a little while now, I think it's safe to say. And what's happened since then has really kind of exposed a lot of that. And so to your point, it is more relevant now than potentially it ever has been before. The stakes are certainly higher.
They really are.
So I've heard a lot of people kind of talking about changing customer behaviors, you know, what banks need to be doing to create, you know, friendly, intuitive digital experiences for their customers. What I don't hear as many people talking about is how the pandemic has changed, how banks should be talking to their customers, communicating with them. I know there are quite a few pitfalls that companies can make. What are you seeing on your side that the kind of biggest mistakes that the banks are making here?
I mean, I think a few jump to the top of my head. The first is one message to many, which is something that's being held over from the old days of broadcast marketing. The best example that we see here is rotating banner ads on homepages. We know from our studies that people don't engage, people don't click them. But when you start to personalize those messages, personalize those pieces of communication, the engagement rate and the click-through rates go up astronomically. I think the other big challenge we're seeing, email personalization doesn't mean just putting my first name in the email. It's going much deeper than that. And then the last is the continuing pushing of commoditized products. There's a tremendous opportunity in this post-COVID world to help first and sell second.
I look at the personalization one. I'd like to unpack that a little bit more, because one of the things that we've seen at Finovate over the years is the really increased ability of fintech to get the data that people really need to make this personalization a reality. Can you talk a little bit more? You know, you mentioned it's not just about the name. It's about more than that. What types of personalization are really valuable at creating that response, that connection?
Well, if you think about all the data that we have access to, and it's something that you had referenced earlier, the opportunity for communication, it's about adding context through content or taking a proactive stance in a person's life. A lot of financial brands have been so reactionary up to this point, waiting for someone to raise their hand saying, I need help. But by that time, it's too late. Now's the time to use that data, proactively reach out to someone and say, hey, we see that this is going on in your life. Here's a possible path forward. Would you like to talk about this further? We can help guide you beyond the stress to get you to a bigger, better, brighter future.
One question that I have on the flip side, you know, can you take that too far? Do you ever get to a point where somebody says, wow, you know a lot about me and I'm not comfortable with this amount of information? You're looking at my purchasing history and saying, you know, I can tell you're about ready to have a baby because I've been looking at what you're buying online. I can see that you're getting these materials together. All of a sudden, the bank can reach out and say, hey, have you considered a, you know, college fund or things like that? And I know it's a fine balancing act in terms of, you know, knowing your customer, but not looking like you're some creepy big brother. What are your thoughts on that balance?
It can get creepy. And I think a great example of that practically applied is outside of the industry. It's something that happened with Target, to where a girl was pregnant and her father didn't know because she started getting all of this stuff coming from Target based upon her own purchase behavior. And that caused this conflict in the family. So yeah, it can cross the line of creepy, but a lot of it comes from, are we doing this through the lens of putting people at the center of all of our thinking and all of our doing and really coaching, guiding, advising someone in their life?
Yeah, I think if you keep the customer in the forefront and thinking, you know, what is really going to make their life better, I think that's a much safer place to approach it from than the kind of purely marketing, you know, how can we get as many sales as possible? Really, the kind of flip side, how can we help as many people as possible is probably the more successful way to play that. So, you know, that's, I think, a good transition point. We talked a little bit about some of the pitfalls. What are some of the things that you think, you know, work well now, you know, especially in this kind of post-COVID, or I guess ongoing COVID environment? You know, what are some opportunities out there for banks who are able to take advantage of them?
Well, you know, one of the greatest opportunities that I see is, I call them the three C's. We have the cure being most traditionally the commoditized product that's going to solve someone's pain point. Then we have the idea of content, which provides some context into how that product can be applied to a person's life. Even content is at a risk of being commoditized. And so to rise above this, the greatest opportunity that I see for financial brands is to take a look at a person's whole life. People want to be healthy, they want to be wealthy, and they want to be happy. And money, financial stress is typically the antithesis or the enemy to that. And so if a financial brand can coach someone, which is the third C, coach someone, provide them with that level of guidance, that's the greatest opportunity on a person's individualized financial journey.
So bringing it back to kind of the fintech perspective, because a lot of our listeners will be from fintech companies, are there any tech solutions which you think are really helpful in kind of getting people to that point, or any types of technology you think are kind of a must-have at this point?
Well, when we look at that, we're looking this through the lens of consumer experience, lead experience, the consumer journey. And so top of mind for me is just what Brian Lay is doing over at AlphaRank through all the micro journeys, because of there's a lot of inherent complexities when shopping for a financial product. If we can identify what the gaps are and what the growth areas are, we can begin to bridge that gap and guide someone confidently through the awareness, consideration, and ultimately towards the purchase stage for a loan or a deposit.
No, I think, well, Brian's a great one. He's obviously a Finovate success story, and we love talking with him. You know, one of the things that I think we see a lot that sort of come up here is, you know, this idea of educating customers as a really crucial piece of this. It's obviously really important that your customers know what solutions are available to them, that your frontline employees at your bank know how to represent those solutions to the customers that they see. How do you see that educational component fitting into this kind of larger goal of, you know, connecting more positively with customers?
Well, if we look at where someone is on their own financial journey, a lot of times they report back, they feel confused about money, they feel frustrated about their financial situation, they feel overwhelmed by debt. They're stuck in what's called the cycle of chaos or the circle of chaos. And the path forward to help them escape that is to first and foremost provide them with clarity. Provide them with clarity of what the opportunities are in the first place, because only then can you then help build their courage to commit to move forward with confidence down a path towards a bigger, better, brighter future.
Yeah, absolutely. And I think, you know, on the flip side, or not on the flip side, but just continuing that thought, one of the things that we've seen in the fintech industry is this sort of putting the blame on people for not being as financially educated, financially literate as we would like them to be. We think, you know, how can people be making these decisions? And, you know, we've been telling people for years, you need to start saving at this rate. Here's how you can set up a long-term savings plan. Here's, you know, what you should be doing. And when people don't do that, I see a lot of people in the financial and fintech spaces kind of say, you know, those people are making big mistakes. We can't control that. We can't keep them from making those mistakes. But it seems to me that actually the onus is probably on the other side, that if you have customers who aren't doing those things that you know will make them be financially healthy, more stable, then the onus is on you to be able to convince them, to educate them, to tell them what they should be doing better. And people who are able to do that, I think, will develop that kind of deeper relationship that you're talking about. Do you see that? Is that just something that we see kind of in the fintech space, or do you see that in the financial space as well?
I see that on both sides. The opportunity here is there's a lot of inherent complexities, a lot of inherent, you know, what we call cognitive load around the perspective and the idea of money. Anything that we can do to reduce that through user experience, through content, through education, is really delivered through the what we call the mantra of help first, sell second. Become the helpful guide on a consumer's financial journey. Don't try to be the hero. Be the Obi-Wan Kenobi. Be the Yoda.
I mean, I'm just going to go ahead and say, I think Obi-Wan Kenobi and Yoda both are heroes. I mean, I don't want to get into a semantic argument, a philosophical debate with you, but I mean, I just always kind of validated those guys as heroes. But I see what you're saying, right? You need somebody who, I think guide is the right word there. Somebody who can be there with you, can be in the trenches with you and help you. And we see companies on the Finovate stage who do a good job of that, consistently winning best of show trophies. You know, we validate it from that side. So from the bankers in the audience, the venture capitalists in the audience, clearly understand this when they're being sold to. I think the challenge now is kind of flipping it and saying, now as you go out and sell to other people, you need to keep those pieces in mind, because it's easy to forget straight away as soon as the shoe is on the other foot.
Exactly. You know, one of the things that we think about whenever someone has a question, they have a concern, they're trying to solve a problem, where do they go? They go to Google. And so people are trying to solve these problems by themselves, but they might be getting themselves into more trouble because of the complexities. Once again, like if you have a health condition, what do? You go to Google, you self-diagnose. If you want that true guidance, that true expertise, you go see a doctor.
Yeah, well, we know exactly what a self-diagnosis is usually worth, don't we? The importance of the doctor in the equation.
Yes, sir.
Well, that brings us to the end of our time today. James Robert, Ben, an absolute pleasure chatting with you. Again, the book is called Banking on Digital Growth. It is out now. I would encourage you to grab a copy. And James, thanks again for joining me.
Thank you very much, Greg.
The Finovate podcast is produced by Informa Connect in association with Provoke.fm Media. Check out Finovate.com for information on Finovate's upcoming shows and to learn how you can get involved. The discount code Finovate Podcast will save you 20% on tickets to all of our events. And you can email us at info@finovate.com for information on sponsoring, speaking, or demoing. Thanks for listening.